The white-tailed deer was a rare creature along the East Coast 100 years ago. Now they seem to be everywhere. Across the country, there are some 20 million white-tailed deer, and many states are seeing record populations, populations that are expected to grow. That has had big implications for road safety and gardens. Now, new warnings about the implications for biodiversity and the long-term survival of forests. Sabri Benachour has the story.
Back in 1990, scientists with the Smithsonian's Conservation Biology Institute in Front Royal, Virginia, closed off about 10 acres behind an 8-foot-tall wire fence. It's called an exclosure. It's a world without deer, and it doesn't really exist anymore anywhere else. Bill McShay is a wildlife ecologist with the Smithsonian, and after passing through a rickety wire door, he's standing in that world.
So here we're inside this deer exclosure. We're at the fence line here. And this fence has been up now for 21 years. So we're comparing inside the fence to the outside the fence. And there's two things to notice. One is it's green on both sides of the fence. But in here, it's a lot more diverse than out there.
That is an understatement. The deer side of the fence has a carpet of grass, a shrubby-looking thing, and some large trees, things that are either too big for deer to eat or are among the very few plants they don't like to eat. Inside, it is practically a jungle. Dozens of different, almost exotic-looking plants are tumbling over one another. Many of them are young trees.
In here, I can see white ash and hickory and red maples and serviceberry. We're looking at 20, 30 species. You look out there, it's a much simpler world.
And that simpler world is an aging world. Really, it's a dying world as far as forests go.
The future is not good. There's no teenagers here. There's no young adults. Everybody's a mature individual. Whereas inside this fence, you have the complete profile of ages. You have youngsters. You have teenagers. You have middle-aged adults. You have the old trees. And when the old trees go, there is something here to take its place. Out there, I don't see anything out there that's a small tree.
One of the surprising things they found with this experiment is that deer allow invasive species to flourish. And with fewer native plants, there are fewer birds who depend on them for nests and food. There are fewer mice and fewer chipmunks when they have to compete with deer. It wasn't always this way. 100 years ago, deer were nearly extinct in Maryland and extremely rare in Virginia. Newly minted state game departments rushed to the rescue, banning or regulating hunting and setting up parks.
They went and got deer from Arkansas and brought them back here to repopulate that area. So growing the deer population was intentional. It's a conservation story, and it went just like they planned. And now the flip side has happened.
Deer aren't evil, McShay is quick to emphasize, but they don't have any natural predators anymore, and they need to be managed. States rely on hunters and even hired sharpshooters, but McShay says in order to protect the long-term health of forests, a wider, more aggressive approach is necessary.
We have time in that. We don't have to make a decision this year.
But, he says, we don't have decades. Trees don't live forever. For NPR News, I'm Sabri Benachour in Washington.